Hello, folks. Welcome to the Nerd One podcast. I am Vincent, and today's show we're doing But Does It Really Suck for Phase 4 at MCU. Oh, yeah, we're doing this. So sit down, buckle up. This might be a long one. Okay, so Phase 4 of the MCU gets a lot of hate. Rightfully so. From a lot of YouTubers, podcasters, even myself. I didn't like the approach they did with it for the quantity over quality. But I figure there's got to be some good stuff came out of it. Some sort of gems or something. So, I like to go through them. Like I said, this might be a long one. I mean, you saw the length of it. You know what you're in for. So let's do this. So we're gonna start with the movie. We're gonna start with the movies. First thing that came out was Black Widow. Honestly, it could have been a better movie if it was brought out sooner. I felt it was just the timing on it was wrong. We already knew what happened to the character, and the story on it was kind of meh. But the good thing that came out of it was we got Red Guardian. And yes, it was kind of a more of a goofy, weird Red Guardian. Fine. But he is coming back, you know, at the end of Phase 5. So, kind of looking forward to that. Maybe they're going to toughen him up a little more, get a little more attitude, instead of just being kind of a comical character. Next up was Spider-Man No Way Home. This movie was just perfect all the way around. No problems with it. No, ooh, gems here, gems there. Like, nah, just movie's awesome. Watch it. The even more fun version is an extra 20 minutes. And it's fun. It's silly. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. It gave us the real Mandarin. So, remember from Iron Man 1? How, you know, it was the Mandarin. You know, doing all this stuff? And turn out... Well, in Iron Man 1 and 3. And 3 trying to be just some British actor. But this one actually gives us real Mandarin. And we actually got to see the return of Abomination in the cage fight. So it was interesting, but he was actually fighting Wong. So we didn't really get much substance to that until later on in the phase. The Eternals. This one was hard. Honestly, the whole movie was just like, to me. I mean, it's like the only Marvel movie I've actively left to take a phone call and come back. And when I returned, you know, I asked the person I was with, hey, what did I miss? And got the absolutely nothing look. So, but the good thing from it was we know it's Blade talking at the end, but also Dane Whitman, you know, picks up the Ebony Blade, you know, basically confirming what he's saying about his, you know, I think it's his grandfather. You know, that, you know, the sword runs in the family. Doctor Strange 2, The Multiverse of Madness. We get to see the return of Patrick Stewart as Professor X. We finally got the fan casting of John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. And this is actually the Marvel's first attempt at a horror movie. Not bad. I wouldn't really call it a horror movie, but there's like some jump scares in it, but I wouldn't really call it a horror movie. Honestly, probably the second best movie in Phase 4. I mean, Spider-Man No Way Home, of course, takes the cake. Doctor Strange 2, you know, follows it up. The rest of these movies are just kind of more of a, you know, throw it in the air, and whichever one lands first can be number 3. Moving on to Thor 4, Love and Thunder. We got to see the new Asgard, how the Asgardians are settling, how they're blending in, you know, how it's going for them, and they become a tourist attraction, basically. But we got to see, you know, Christian Bale make a good villain. I think they could have done better creating Gore the God Butcher, but just Christian Bale as a villain was pretty sweet. Black Panther 2, this one was tough as well because I mean, for me, the first Black Panther movie was all about Chadwick Boseman. He played T'Challa very well, and with him, you know, passing back in 2020, it just, the movie didn't have much to go on. I mean, I know they tried to bring Namor to really kind of up the ante, but the only thing it kind of showed me was that Wakanda and, I'm not even sure the name of the city they called it, but basically Atlantis, where Namor actually lives, they're very much alike. They're seclusionists. They want people to leave them alone until they need to make something happen, then they'll do what they want. I mean, it's a whole thing I got with Black Panther and Wakanda, or, yeah, Wakanda Forever, because the Wakandans, the royal family in Wakanda, wants the world to leave them alone. They feel like, you know, when they lost T'Challa, they had to go back, close their borders, cut off all technology that T'Challa promised them to, you know, better the world, until they want something. Then they just go out and take it. This is also in the TV shows too on Disney Plus, where they have no care for sovereign boundaries or people's nationality. It's just, I want it. Go get it. Alright. But M'Baku was cool in this. I actually really enjoyed, you know, his character in this. He, you know, wasn't just like some guy sitting on the sidelines. He really got in the fight when the fight got going. And I think at the end, he is now king of Wakanda. Because I think Shuri kind of stepped away. But that was the MCU Phase 4 movies. Moving on to the Disney Plus series, these actually seem to be more. First came out was WandaVision. WandaVision was actually not bad. When it first came out, it felt slow to me. I know, I think I said this in the review I did when it first came out, that, you know, week by week, as a weekly series, it was just like, okay, when's something going to happen? But then, once it was over, and able to kind of watch at your own pace, or even just power through it like I did the second time around, it's a way better show. For Falcon Winter Soldier, we got U.S. Agent. Well, we got, was it John Walker? Who was the new Captain America, and then was, you know, stripped of his badge, you know, of his authority, and was kind of remade into U.S. Agent. And we got another new Captain America in Sam Wilson. I thought it would have been Bucky for this, and I think it would have been a really good arc for him, just because it shows in the beginning of the series how Bucky, he's been, you know, this all charges have been dismissed against him as long as he keeps going to therapy. And we see that if he misses a succession, he gets arrested. We got to see that. But I think it would have been a huge redemption arc for Bucky to take on the mantle of Captain America and be the next Cap. But I guess they had the reasons. But the fight scenes were pretty cool, too, in this. I mean, the fight between, you know, John Walker, Sam Wilson, and Bucky, that was a good fight. That was an emotional fight. In Loki, we got an introduction to the multiverse and to Kang. And Kang is going to mess things up in Phase 5, and I think Phase 6. He'll be there as well. The anime series, What If? It was, all of the episodes were fun in their own way. Some were better than others. But we got to see what happens if, you know, Vision goes rogue. You know, he literally cut Thanos in half, took the Infinity Stones, became, I mean, he made his armor into a gauntlet. You know, or his armor was embedded with the Infinity Stones. So, you know, we got to see what it took to defeat, you know, a Ultron Vision with Infinity Stones. It was cool. Love the Marvel Zombies episode as well. Love that part. Next up was Hawkeye. Hawkeye series for me was just kind of, where's this going? And I understand it was like ba solely based on a comic, with Kate Bishop and Clint. But for me, the thing that stood out was we got confirmation that Kingpin is a part of the MCU. And we already knew, well, for those who watched the Netflix Marvel shows, those were technically set in the MCU. Those were just the aftermath of, the first Avengers movie, which kind of says how old they are. So, and they even reference what happened in New York on that day. But now they're saying not quite canon, but they are, like they're going to continue the storylines, but we'll see what happens. But Kingpin's back. The Moon Knight series. This one didn't really impact the MCU very much. It was just basically, bringing Moon Knight into the MCU. That's all it really felt like. It didn't really kind of balance on any dramatic storylines. It didn't really impact anything already happening in MCU like most of the shows or stories already have. So it's kind of like self-contained. Ms. Marvel's kind of the same thing as Moon Knight. It was self-contained, doing its own thing. It was felt like more like the second half wanted to be like a history lesson than anything else. But no, well. But the one thing that it did throw into MCU, and I know this is kind of a shocker, was the word mutant. Now that Marvel has rights to use the term, they have now officially used it. And Kamala Khan is the first official mutant of the MCU. And we kind of got a little bit of a wisp of the X-Men theme when they said mutants. That was kind of fun. And finally, to round everything out, we have She-Hulk. Really, it was the same thing as. It felt the same thing as Moon Knight and Miss Marvel. It was to bring the character into the MCU and, basically bash the fans. That's what it felt like. The fans were looking for this, Hulk-based show where, Hulk smash and all that. We just got someone who, ridiculed and mocked the fans. And kind of at the end confirmed that the fans are, the villain of the story. Yeah. We got Daredevil back in more of his classic costume, kind of red and yellow. Charlie Cox came back to revise the character. So that was cool to see him again. Doesn't look like he's aged a day since we last saw him in No Way Home, and then we saw him back in the Defender series in Daredevil season 3, Netflix, which is now on Disney Plus. But also we got Abomination back as well. And kind of why he was in that cage fight with Wong back in Shang-Chi. The only problem is they castrated that poor guy. I mean, he's gone from this, soldier of fortune who wanted to basically do his thing, make his money, be the next super soldier, to a therapist. So that is one giant set of balls cut off. Sorry to say. Abomination could have been an amazing force to deal with, but we'll see. I mean, at the end of the series, Wong does take Abomination back to the monastery, so we'll see what happens with that. So, all in all, Phase 4, yes, was a rough patch for Marvel. Phase 5 hopefully will be the restoration of it all, bring it back to full swing. Because I know next up we have Ant-Man Quantumanium, I think in February or so. So hopefully that kind of kicks things back into business. Oh, also, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Fantastic. If you haven't seen it, watch it. I think actually that officially ends the Phase 4. Or does Ant-Man? Anywho, it's actually the end for this podcast then. So, for Phase 4. Like I said, not the biggest fan. They could have done better, but they went a different path. Wasn't for me, and wasn't for a lot of fans. So Phase 5, looking to you, hopefully things get better. Did you find anything that you liked in Phase 4, or were you just kind of done with it? But folks, that's all I got for this time. So once again, I am Vincent, and this is Nerd1. Do come find us on social media. We're still doing Twitter, Nerd1.5. We're on Instagram, Nerd1Podcast. Our website is podpage.com/Nerd1. If you don't mind, please do share the episode. Like, subscribe, retweet, and let's grow that nerddom. But until next time, stay safe out there, wash your hands, stay clean. We'll talk to you soon. Bye for now. Folks, I hope you enjoyed the show, but for now, that's all I have for today. So I just want to remind you, if you don't mind, please do share the episode if you enjoyed it. Feedback is always appreciated. Nerd1podcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Nerd1.5. Instagram at Nerd1podcast. But until next episode, you guys take care out there. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay clean. We'll talk to you soon. And please be nice to each other. Bye for now.